Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. So listen, I've got a very special Power Agent on the call, Frank Mosca. Frank, did I say your last name right? Did I mess it up?
Yes, you did.
Everybody, Frank is from Long Island, New York, so all you Southern folks, you're going to hear that New York slang in his speaking. And but boy, we're in for a real treat because of what Frank has accomplished. So Frank, give them your company information, your contact information, in case people want to, you know, send referrals your way. Go ahead.
Sure. I'm with a company called Realty Connect USA, with offices throughout Nassau and Suffolk counties on Long Island. We're headquartered in Hopog. I won't even try to spell that for everybody, but we're in Hopog. And Realty Connect is RealtyConnectUSA.com. My personal website is Mosca, spelled M-O-S-C-A, RealtyGroup.com. And my office line, which will go to my cell phone if either myself or my assistant don't answer, is 631-881-5950.
Now, Frank, you know, you just did something. You know what's interesting? Whenever I do these interviews, Frank, people are always like, they're always concerned that they're going to do a good job or they're going to give value. And before we even started, you already gave value, and I want to point it out. And when this happens, I'm going to interrupt you maybe, Frank, because I want to highlight it for people. You know, when I asked you to give your name and contact information, here's what you said. You said, I'm with Realty Connect USA. We have offices in Nassau, all over Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk. Now, what was brilliant about you doing that is that you are promoting the bigness of Realty Connect USA. And what I want everybody to notice that's listening to this interview is that the power of being successful in real estate is not just branding yourself and the bigness of your success, but also the company that you've aligned with. And so I bet you didn't even notice you did that. It's probably instinctively because you do it all the time now. But that was very powerful, that you were actually saying, hey, listen, I'm a big fish, but I'm also part of a bigger pond, you know, or another big fish, if you will, that helps our buyers and sellers. So anyway, that was great, Frank.
I also want to let you know I'm not afraid of taking, you know, an $800,000 listing, you know, 35 miles from me if I could drive through it. So I don't have to go under a tunnel or a bridge. So.
Now, Frank, you've been taking my programs and courses. When was the first time that you took the program?
I heard about you in, I think, 2003, and I was in the 2004 Power Program, the four-year program. I think it was the last time you ever did it.
Yep. Now, and you tell when we before we get ready for this call, you know, you said something to me very interesting, and I hope it's okay that we talk about it. Where you were, well, let's do it this way. Last year, how many deals did you put together, and how are you doing this year?
Put together would be more than what I closed. I closed 46, and if I look at year-to-date, 2015 was 46 closed transactions. I don't even know if there was a side. So, you know, I don't break down sides because it really doesn't matter to me. Going to a closing and bringing home a paycheck is what matters.
If you sold your own house to your own buyer, you would probably still consider that as one transaction, right?
Yeah. I mean, of course, like I told you, I'm doing my board. Just I think it's a cool thing to look at when I come in. The number I gave you, 46, those are deals.
Okay, got it. All right, so it actually could be more sides than just 46. Okay, so go on.
Yeah.
This year, how are you doing?
I'm on track to do, I'm shooting for 60.
Okay.
And hopefully it's better or, you know, I'm actually a little behind because I stopped working to build listings and started working with buyers and I did close a big commercial deal from the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Which kind of helped set me up to, you know, have the support or at least have the confidence that I can budget my marketing the way I want to. So that I can set myself up long term.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's something else you just made me think of it too, Frank. I've never said this before, but in any of my seminars. But one of the useful things to learn, because you just said you did a big commercial deal. You know, one of the useful things, especially for a top agent, is to look at not just the number of deals, but and or the revenue, but actually the amount of the average commission per transaction. You know, if somebody, if let's say last year you did, you know, 46 deals, like you said, again, which is probably more sides. You know, let's just say, let's say you did over 50 sides, okay? It's probably a lot more. But if you did 50 sides and you did, you know, $1,000, whatever that math is, you divide it into it. Now, if let's say this year you do 60 deals, your revenue might look better. But if you take the 60 and divide it into your average side, and if you see it go down, then that could be a concern from a business point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Said another way, if you do the math and the average per side is more than you did last year, then that's a good thing because each deal takes a certain amount of time to do, and it's just probably a good number to know. Now, you told me you have currently 15 listings, yes?
I want to say maybe 15 to 17. Like I said, a lot of my stock I get, I'm building a business in an area where there's a high turnover rate. So it's if at the rate that I write that I would be writing listings if I was like last year at the time I was writing six to eight a month. And I think I don't know what I did in April. I'd have to go to the office and look at the board. But I know that the first 3 months weren't what they should have been because I was working with buyers more than I normally do. I was working buyer sides, and then like I said, I had that other deal in the middle of it too. And I started building more of a. I started concentrating more of building my assistant to be able to handle what I'm ready to start doing, which is, you know, bigger numbers and more transactions and managing agents more effectively.
Yeah, I mean when you start growing a team like you have, yes, that's you're going to take a hit in production because you got to get you're spending time not prospecting or building your business. You're making an investment in people to help you run your business, so that's normal for that to happen. So, all right, so over 50 sides last year. You're on track to doing over 60. Currently, 15, 17 listings. Now here, do you mind telling everybody, sharing with everybody, where were you financially? Where were you in your business 2 years ago?
2 years ago today. Well, I joined Realty Connect at the end of 2011. And for about 2 years before that, I wasn't really playing the role of a full-time realtor.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things happened in my life, and I actually took a job working for one of my close friends driving a grease truck, which I know sounds funny. And then I moved my license to Realty Connect, and
okay.
So I'm going to – this is where I want to be. Because
yeah.
I know that the kind of business I want to build, because I've read Gary Keller's book. I remember reading that book, years ago and saying, how the hell can I do this on Long Island?
Yeah.
And Realty Connect is the kind of company where you can do that.
Okay.
So that's kind of, I'm looking at that, and that was what I wanted to do. So I kind of worked my butt off. From 2012 was when I started, and it didn't take me, it took until the summer of 2014 to have the cash flow where I knew that I could, you know, which gave me the confidence. Because 2 years ago today, I was borrowing money from my parents to pay my mortgage, let's put it that way. I didn't know where any dollars were coming from.
Mm.
Just because the cash flow didn't hit that yet.
Mm. Mm. Well, I want everybody to hear that. I mean, so 2 years ago, you were borrowing money from your parents to make your mortgage payment. And here it is 2 years later, and you're going to do over 60 transactions. You have a team. You have 15, 17 current listings. That's pretty awesome. And it's awesome that you pulled yourself through that successfully. Now, I know that you probably have areas that you still want to improve and work on, but that in of itself is a major breakthrough and a major accomplishment. What would you say was one of the pivotal turning point for you? Like, what got you, where did it start to work for you where you didn't have to worry about paying your mortgage anymore? Go ahead.
I mean, I guess, you know, really I kind of worked like an animal for 2 years, and I did almost anything in the beginning. I worked, and, you know, and before I came to Realty Connect, I did work for a good company, and I did learn a lot. I learned actually all the skills that I have, I learned there. In fact, when I took the Power Program, you would say things, and I'd be like, okay, that's what we talk about in our trainings, or I do that. But it was cool to hear it and be around other agents when I did that. I guess in 2012, when I started, building what was going to become more like mine, because that's kind of like what this company does for an agent that has experience to, kind of do that. So I built it like I was building my own business, and I did rentals, not for rent, for fast money. Plus, when you're making 90%, it's nice to rent a $3,000 house and get $2,700. That's a nice thing. But I was doing more rentals, really, to build my client base, because I do a good job as a landlord's agent, and I don't do it as much as I did, but I still have my clients that have houses to rent, and I would do that for them, and now they trust me with everything else, and I get a lot of referral work from that. And some of these people are people that own 27, like a lot of rental properties. So in my head, I'm like, okay, well, one day I'm going to get 27 listings. Some of them might not be in areas where I want to go without a bulletproof vest, but I'll take them.
I want to highlight that, and I want you to think if there's anything else that you would attribute to, but this is awesome. First of all, you had a change in your mindset, which is, I'm going to build a real estate business.
Yes.
So that's a very, very important, because most agents, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of agents, they still think they're salespeople, not business people. And so you changing your mindset, saying, all right, enough is enough. I have major changes happening in my life, that you had to deal with, it financially being the one of them. And so, all right, I'm going to have a financial breakthrough. I'm doing that. I'm already in real estate. I know the basics of real estate, but I'm going to build a real estate business. So that's number one. Number two is you work like an animal. So I'm trying to give people a formula here, what you just said, Frank. So you work like an animal really hard, put in long hours to build that business so it can be successful. And part of that formula was doing rentals because, number one, it's more immediate cash than maybe listing and selling, contract to closing, and da-da-da-da. Second of all, every one of those owners that are renting their property, they might have other properties. They might become a seller. Those tenants may become in the future buyers. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So that's it. And, you said and you said something else to me, too, before we started this call, which is, you're working with a lot of investors, too. Wealthy people looking to flip properties. What's that one you've got now as a developer? Tell everybody about that one.
This is still a maybe, but I get along really great with this guy, and he likes working with me because we get along. Like, I had dinner with him, and there was an introduction I got from a really good real estate attorney who I became friends with over the last couple of years, too. It's just a very comfortable relationship between him and I. And this property that him and another builder partner that he has are acquiring is a waterfront development of, I forget whether it's 27 to 32 single-family homes, at the mouth of the canal that used to be a marina.
All right, so let's even say if it was 25, the average list price is going to be what on these properties?
I mean, it's going to go from 600 to probably 900 to maybe 1.1 million. I mean, there's houses in this area that, there's $1.1 million comps at a bayfront in this area.
Okay.
And that's
all right.
By this builder who's phenomenal.
So we just rounded off to a million. I dropped the number of listings to 25. There's $25 million in potential listings and over the next couple of years. The other thing you just said now, too, is that this came as a referral from an attorney, and this attorney you built a relationship over the past couple of years. Again, I think it's probably your hard work ethic, your hard commitment to building a real estate business, as opposed to a sales business, is that this attorney probably recognized that level that you were playing at, and so he felt comfortable to put his name behind your name to recommend you to this other person. That's you're doing a lot of right things, Frank, which is really good. And you know what? I just go back on that too. Is that when any agent takes more seriousness about what they do and they look at themselves as a business, every successful agent I know personally in my life That's how they work. They work as business people. They're committed to the business. They're committed to their customers. You know, when you think about business, running a business, there's things like customer service. There's things like communication. There's things about more value than what's being charged. So there's these philosophies of running a business, and when an agent thinks that way, then it raises the bar for themselves. And the most important thing is people like attorneys or inspectors or so on and so forth, they recognize, all right, if you had 100 agents, this one guy, Frank, he seems to be standing above the rest, not because he's better than the rest, but his work ethic and commitment to being a business person, that's the person I want to align myself with. So great stuff. Now, what else have you been doing that you did, would you attribute? So we said a bunch of things about working hard, building a business, the rentals that spun off to other things. Is there anything else that you would attribute to you turning things around from 2 years ago to now?
You know what? As tough as things were, you know, even when the market started becoming very difficult in 2006, when things started to turn, and that's when I was, you know, very active, you know, before I had to, you know, start doing different, you know, get involved in odd jobs. I never worked, as hard as things got, I never worked out of desperation mode, you know. I remember when I needed money, I never acted like I needed money. In fact, I can tell you that there was a deal I closed, and I needed the money more than everybody else involved, and I did it for nothing. I took no commission because of there was a couple of extenuating circumstances in the deal, and if I did take a commission or if there was another dollar more, there would have had to be a short sale. And it was already a co-op deal, and it was just to get into it would be another 20-minute conversation. But I've done a couple of those where I've reduced, and I just because my whole thing is, and I've heard, I don't know if I've heard you say it, but this is just common sense in this business. This is not a business where you just have cash flow. So I just do whatever I do to create cash flow, but I make sure that you're not going to make a sucker out of me either in the process.
Mm-hmm,
There's a point where you got to say, okay, we've done all we can do, and now if I don't do what I got to do, then I just wasted this time and I don't make anything. You know how much money I make off of realtors that walk out of the house because they want, you know, and I'm just going to use a number, they want 7% and I do it for 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then I laugh at them because they just lost, you know, a lot of money. And,
right.
You know, and it's like if someone weighs $20,000 in your face, you're not going to take it because you want 25. I think you're going to take 20,000. But
right.
That's okay. They walk out of the house and I take it.
Okay.
But not that every deal is a $20,000 commission deal, but my point is, and without being a cut rate broker, because that's something I definitely don't believe in either. And that's just, you know, that the whole thought of that, you know, it's another conversation too. But, just making sure that there's cash flow in my life because I got bills that come every month, and I have,
yeah.
You know, and I have a daughter, and I have a, you know, I have a house, and I got a dog that's outside right now that needs food, so I need to know that there's always cash flow coming. So whatever I got to do that is what I do, and listening to last is the biggest one of that.
All right. Well, yes, you've heard me talk about cash flow and how important it is in our business, and the best way to do that is getting those listings, building that listing inventory. But I've got to ask you, how could you not be desperate? Like, how did you do that? Like, you can't even pay your mortgage 2 years ago. How did you do that? Because I know there's agents listening to this that they're having financial struggles now, and they probably think about it 80% of their waking moment. You know, and that's got to be a distraction for them. So how did you not think about it 80% of the time?
You know, it's funny. Back in 2003 or 2002, I got my broker's license. And I was so happy that finally on my business card, it didn't say salesperson.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, you know, and I say this in the office all the time, and I don't know if I've ever said this to you, but I run, to me, money is a side effect. I like it to be a really nice side effect, but money is a side effect of doing the right thing. And most people don't use a realtor because they come off like a salesperson. Or, you know, I was just at an appointment last Friday morning, I think, and there was already two realtors in there. And one of them is a salesperson. And the old woman that's sitting at the table, who I know I'm going to get the listing, saw that that person was a salesperson, and I don't have the salesperson conversation. I don't use a flip chart. I don't use an iPad. You know, I know my market. I know what the numbers are, and I go in there with a conversation, and I tailor it to the personality I'm talking to, and I'm never dishonest by nature or anything else. That's how I want to come across, because otherwise, if people are trusting you with their life savings, and that's how you got to be. Otherwise, you're a salesperson.
Wow.
So, you know, we're not working out of desperation in a time like that, I guess, is a true test of how someone is, you know. And I'll never be that person, because I know what my competition is, and I don't do it to be better than my competition, but I do it because that's how I am.
Wow, that was profound what you just said, is that in the toughest times financially, that really says who you are and what you're committed to. And for you, what had you not show up as desperate is you really committed to this business, you're really committed to the industry, you're committed to your clients and doing the best. I mean, like you taking, having that sale, putting that sale together, that you didn't even take a dollar, otherwise it would have been a short sale when you can't even pay your mortgage. That's very telling, that's how committed you are to the business, and now you're reaping the rewards for that. That's awesome. So if somebody is struggling financially and they're getting distracted by that, they've got to really ask themselves, are they committed to their buyers and sellers? Are they committed to this business? Are they committed to this industry? Or are they committed to the worry about the money? And that's great. The other thing you said, which was awesome, is that people can pick up whether you're a salesperson or you're really committed to serving them, not selling them. And, when you love the business and you're committed to serving people, all that stuff, then real estate, you know, will show up less as work, because everything that you're doing is you're doing it because you have a passion for it. So, all right, very, very good stuff, Frank. All right, good. Is there anything else that you would attribute to you having that financial breakthrough from 2 years ago to now? And then I'm going to ask you a few other questions.
Always got to concentrate on listings. I mean, no matter what. I mean, the other thing, too, is, I mean, I could, and I don't, but if I did have $1 million in the bank, I would be worried about money, because I don't have a lot of deals in contract, or I don't have a good stock of sellable listings. So I look at my bank account is my inventory, whether it's my under contracts, my first accepted, my sellable listings, and making sure that bank account is stocked is what I guess keeps me going. Every time, like, I'm going to a closing this afternoon. I hate when things close, honestly, because it means that I have less money in the bank.
Now, Frank, I don't know the last time you heard me do my seminars, because we go so way back, but excuse me as I just coughed in this recording. Have you heard me do the shoe store analogy, which is something I've been doing the last few years, like 3 years or something. It's a new analogy. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I actually use that, and I think I say it a little bit differently, but that's like...
You're calling it the bank account, so it's the same concept. I mean, whatever your business is, shoes, real estate, you know, and that's awesome that you just said that. When you have a closing, you're like, we can't curse. This is not the New York, there's people in other parts of the country listening to this. Be like, oh, shoot. There's, that's great. I got a closing, but I just have one less listing in my inventory, and that's going to be a problem later on if I don't replenish. So that's awesome. Very good. Now, how are you getting the listings?
A lot of different ways. I still work for sale by owners. I have a really, really good agent who I met that was coming out of another career path that, you know, wasn't going anywhere because of just the way that industry is.
Mm-hmm.
Came into the office, we became friends and sort of business partners, and he's been, you know, and he took your I forget what it's called now, I think it's your results. He
yes.
took that last year, and I actually helped him, I pushed him into it basically, and that was awesome because now he's calling expired listings. I have the land voice leads coming to me, and I don't even look at them. I probably haven't opened up a land voice email since I opened the account, and I don't even know how to get into my account, but I have him copied on those, and he's calling expired.
Awesome.
He's getting the expired listing appointments. Probably, I don't know how many, I forget how many, I'm really bad at numbers, like I said in the conversation before this, but he's hitting the expired side. I still when I feel like it will do for sale by owners, but I've kind of been distracted by a few other, you know, ways of, but I've been getting listings, and a lot of it's starting to become referral work.
Mm-hmm.
Great. You know, so and one of the things that I'm awful at is staying in touch with my sphere of influence. And what's funny is I sent an email out, and I was just sitting in my bed like the Saturday before Easter, and I'm saying I have to do this, and I have a top producer account that I need, and I never push anything out of it. And I just did a regular happy Easter, you know, from me, happy Easter, your family, one line bank. And I'm getting about three listings from that, including two pieces of land that are buildable in a good area.
Wow.
So I don't know why I don't do that more often.
That's awesome. All right, so you got the expireds, you got your past clients, although you're weak on that, and the FSBOs. Are you doing the FSBOs? Are you still calling, or are there other agents doing it?
No, he's FSBOs aren't his thing. I mean, and a lot of things are not everybody's thing. And honestly, expireds were never my thing. FSBOs, I always had an easy time, I mean, or at least it seemed that way. I call five and get an appointment right away. Maybe I was just lucky, I don't know. But and some of my best clients were for sale by owners that, you know, if I didn't do that, I mean, I could tell you that right now, just from one client, I got about $5 million in sales that I've had in the last 10 years from this person. It was only about three deals that equal that much money.
Well, that's still $5 million from one FSBO call.
From one FSBO call that I met his cousin, or a close friend that he called his cousin, and sold his house in Deer Park. And then he bought a for sale by owner, but that was fine. But he liked me so much that introduced me to, you know, his sphere, who are awesome people that, you know, are just good people to be in business with. And they use me for everything that happens in their family. And they have a lot of commercial interest, which has been nice.
Do you do any door knocking or mailings? Either one of those?
I do. I have my assistant doing mailings. I have a good one piece flyer that I send out that kind of says everything, because I tend to print too much otherwise. And it just makes sense just to have them open something up and see something. Door knocking, I don't, but I was actually driving because one of my investors said, hey, you got to go look at these houses, because I'm playing with the computer and I'm about to buy a couple of properties for $65,000. So I had to, you know, take a detour and start going out east. And as I'm doing that, and you know the area, I'm driving in Manorville, and one of my family members is talking about, you know, selling their house and downsizing. So I see a cute ranch with a for sale by owner sign in front of it.
Okay.
So I got out of the car, and I didn't even have time to talk to the guy. I basically ran up to the house, and they said, you know, can I come back in a couple of days? And basically they said, oh, you know, come back tomorrow. And I did, and I went there, and I was wearing nicer clothes the next day. I didn't expect to be door knocking. And And it's actually an already listed property that's expiring in the next couple of days. So
okay.
I got to follow up and see if I'm getting that. But the man basically got out of his chair while I was talking and called the owner of the company that they're listed with and told him he wants a release.
Wow.
So I told him, I said, you know, I said, I honestly, if I would have known this, because I, you know, I went back to the office later on that day and did a CMA. I said, oh, my God, this guy's listed. But you know what? He invited me. So, you, as you know, I can go.
Right.
And I didn't put words in his mouth. I just went there and talked to him.
Okay.
And plus,
when you did that, you didn't know he was already listed. So, I mean.
I had no idea. But you know what? I know he's not happy. And I know that everybody else is doing the same thing. So let me keep my appointment.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm not like that. Because I think being a good realtor to other realtors is as valuable as all the other relationships you have. Because I know that I'm not, I never count on selling my own listings. And that's why I don't care, you know, how many sides I have. I just care about a deal. I know that most of the time, you know, 8 out of 10 times, another broker is going to sell my listing. So that's all I care about is the one side.
So you make sure that you keep a good relationship with the other realtors, because you know that you've got to work with them and they work with you. Okay.
And that makes my life very, very easy to have those good relationships throughout Long Island.
Yes. All right. Very good. Now, when you go on a list form, you said that you don't use an iPad or a laptop or even a book. Do you bring CMAs, printed CMAs?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, I do bring CMAs, definitely. I bring a folder with, I have a resume in my folder. I have a three pages of testimonials, and you know, if you go on Zillow, I have more, and I should have more, but I'm going to send out an email to everybody to get more.
Mm-hmm.
But I have three pages of testimonials from sellers, buyers, whatever. I have an information sheet about my company, which is just a one page, like three or four paragraphs, and that's on one side with a brochure that I made up and my card. And then on the other side of the folder is my CMA, and it's basically, you know, a regular CMA, as you know.
Okay,
yeah. I bring a public record, I call the town, I find out what their real taxes are, because most people don't know what their real taxes are because they've been paying, you know, the senior rebates or whatever it might be with the STAR.
Right. Yeah, we have that discount here in Long Island. All right, so mailings, you're doing mailings. Are you doing, like, farming mailings every month consistently or no?
I've just started, and I'm not as consistent because I'm a little anal about what comes out.
Okay.
Like I sent out, I was crushed for time, so and it came out after Christmas, but it was really more like, a Happy New Year card. And it looks so boilerplate, I don't even like looking at it. And I have a copy in my living room. So I was just cleaning things out.
Go ahead.
I take a lot of time, and I really don't have time to do it. But I won't spend that much money, and I do nice, really nice cards until it looks like something that someone's going to look at and not just throw in the garbage and say, hey, this looks like something I might want to look at. I know I go to my mailbox and I go right to the garbage pail, but at least I see someone's name and maybe I think about them when I'm ready to sell.
Exactly. Yeah, it's planting seeds. There's one company. Have you heard of Prospects Plus?
I've heard of them, but I don't think I've looked into them.
Yeah, just look into them. Prospects with an S at the end of that. Prospects Plus. They've been around for a long time. I want to say at least 15, 20 years. They're just for realtors, and I know the owner personally. And anyway, I've been looking for this stuff. I've never promoted them, but in the last year, I've been looking at what they've been doing, and they do some incredible things. So check it out as far as their mailing pieces. And I think you could actually give them the list, and they'll do all the work for you. So you don't all you have to do is cut the check every month. All right. All right. Great. And so we got the listing appointment, and then the buyers. What's your biggest source of getting buyer leads?
Mostly online advertising. Zillow has been really good in the zip codes that I paid for.
Okay.
Zillow, Realtor.com. I mean, it's almost like, you know, you almost have to be on these because it's especially when you pay for it, your name stands out more.
Yeah.
So that's. To me, that's important, too, because you want to be recognized.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got to make sure that your profile looks sharp, too. So you got to, before you spend money, make sure that you know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least make yourself be presentable, because people are looking at you and comparing you to two other people, and sometimes three, next to the houses they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So Zillow's been good. Now Zillow's with Trulia, so it's the same thing. I have a couple of other things that I do online. I have there's companies that... people go on, I forget what they're called, but, you know, I've gotten referrals from them, and mostly listing referrals, and you give them, you know, 25 or 30%, usually I think it's 25, but I've gotten a few from that.
You don't know what that company, it doesn't ring a bell?
Fast Expert is one of them.
Okay.
FastExpert.com.
Okay, all right, cool. All right, FastExperts.com. All right, good. And anything else that's generating the leads for you?
On the buyer side, really the online stuff. I mean, print is dead.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, sign leads sometimes, but definitely the online stuff is killing it. I actually have there's a company called HomeFinder.com that was okay, and I bought into it because I was able to get like 40 zip codes. Across Long Island, mostly in Suffolk County. I don't think I have any in Nassau, but mostly in Suffolk, all in Suffolk County, actually, about 40 or so zip codes. I think it might be 36, but still a lot, for under $300 a month.
Okay.
And now, as you know, Newsday has been here forever, and Newsday's, you know, I guess more online.
Yeah.
Now I'm seeing the emails come in for the leads, coming in as Newsday lead. And when I talked to the rep, because they changed, I guess, management, she said, oh, no, now all these are going through the Newsday site. So, I mean, the leads from that is coming in like the Zillow was. So that's been a great company, too.
Okay. All right. All right, cool. Well, listen, this was great, Frank. There's so much great stuff that you just shared. Is there anything before we close it out? Is there, and I have a gift for you. You don't even know yet. I'm going to tell you. But is there anything that you want to say or that we haven't said that you think it would be important for an agent to remember or to know to bring a business to the next level?
I mean, just, I guess the biggest thing for me is, education is always, it was always an important thing for me. I've heard all of your, maybe not all of them, but I used to drive around listening to your teleseminars, all your interviews with other agents. And I think it's important for agents to hear that. This way, when you speak real estate to somebody, whether it's an attorney or a consumer or a seller, you got to sound like you know what you're talking about. And it's not scripted. To me, that's the biggest thing. And I'm sure I don't sound scripted. I mean, right now I'm probably different than I'd be talking to somebody else or a little old lady. But you don't ever want to sound scripted if you can help it. I mean, sometimes you will in the beginning, but that was big. Education's big. And then again, just doing it for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
You gotta put yourself behind money, and then money comes next.
So don't sound scripted. Do it for the right reasons. That's awesome. All right, this is great. Well, Frank, you are so wonderful. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm doing that. Do you know about the workshop I'm doing on Long Island on May 5th? The live workshop?
Something on it.
All right. Anyway, it's a full day, and there's a cost involved. I'm going to give it to you for free if you want to come sit in part of it, all of it. I'll send you the information, okay?
Okay, great.
All right, cool. All right, so that's it for us. Frank, I'm gonna end the call, and then if anybody, once again, if they want to speak to you, they simply call your main number or your email. Give it to me again one more time.
All right, the desk line is 631-881-5950, and then you can go to on my email. You can just use Mosca, MOSCA sales SALES @gmail.com, and that gets monitored by my assistant, and she probably checks my email lately more than I do. So that's why I give out the desk line, because at least I know if I miss a call on my cell, which now I have my reading changed to redirect all business to my desk.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's impossible to be everywhere at once.
Right, that's true. All right, I'm gonna end this call, but Frank, stay here with me. I'm just gonna say goodbye to everybody. So, gang, that was Frank Mosca. Great stuff. If you only implement one item and you did that every month, that would be such a powerful thing. And don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually bring people to their next level in their life. The more people we help, the more money we make. So the money is just a gauge as to how many lives we've helped. So go help a lot of people, and I look forward to talking to you on the next Power Call.